I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, talking high school sports for Northeast Mississippi every Wednesday. Coming to you, I'm Brad Locke with Gene Phelps. Gene, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, man. Good. Kind of winding down your time here. Just a few weeks left. We've talked about this, haven't we?
We have. Okay. 4 weeks of full time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gene's retiring, if you haven't heard, at the end of July. But he'll come back later on to be a part-time or a stringer, as we call them.
That's right.
Correspondent.
An experienced,
yes,
sage stringer.
Reliable. That's the most, maybe one of the most important qualities in a stringer. Reliable.
Yeah. You're getting on up there. There was a player, Sidney Presley, played New Site basketball, and she was running cross country when she was a freshman, and she won the state cross country meet in 2A.
Yeah.
And I walked over to her to ask her about her run, and she said, just a minute, she walked off. Well, I found out this year from her parents that she came over and said, that old man over there wants to talk to me. And I said, that old man's from the newspaper. So I've been an old man for years, at least in the eyes of a lot of my subjects.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Plays won't be the same with that, Gene, but it's the middle of summer, end of June. Not a whole lot going on, I guess, but there is stuff happening. There's certainly plenty to talk about. We've got a pretty big coaching move that happened just the other day, a little bit unexpected, perhaps. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some summer hoops. That's something you've been writing a lot about lately, several girls' teams you've updated us on. We also have a story on an old football and basketball coach from the area who's being honored on a national level. So we've got all that coming to you here on this episode of Prep Rally. Just a reminder, you can access this podcast in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Just click the subscribe button. You'll be notified every time a new episode drops. Also, can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. That'll let you know when we drop new episodes. Also, it's our general high school sports Twitter account. So be sure to give that a follow to keep up with what's going on in prep sports in Northeast Mississippi. Let's start with the coaching news, Gene. A little deep into the offseason for this kind of thing, typically, but we found out the other day, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, the news broke.
Saturday, actually.
Yeah, Chad Cook is leaving Ripley after five seasons to be the offensive coordinator at ICC.
Yeah, and we were talking about July's coming up, and football practice starts like the last week in July. They'll be playing those jamborees on like August the 11th or something, so football season right around the corner, actually, if you really want to be truthful, about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I think Ripley's got to have a turnaround. I need to check on what they're doing. I don't know. Usually, sometimes when jobs like this turn around quickly, they look inside and go with someone on the staff. I haven't talked with anyone from Ripley. It would probably be the best choice unless there was someone there who they had their eye on, like if some Chad ever leaves, we're going to hire so-and-so or something.
Yeah, it's just this time of year, most head coaches are not looking for jobs because they're settled in somewhere, so there's not a big candidate pool.
Yeah, and Chad wasn't looking for this job. He just always wanted to coach on that next level, and the junior college level intrigued him, and ICC lost its offensive coordinator. His name doesn't come to mind. He just left.
Yeah.
And Cook wasn't looking to leave, but the right opportunity came along with ICC, and Sean Cannon needed an offensive coordinator, and he needed one also fairly quick because their football season is cranking up at the end of the month. And so Cook said it was just, it was the right offer for him. It wasn't necessarily the right time. He leaves Ripley on good terms.
Yeah.
He would have been certainly happy there coaching this season. It's just this opportunity came open for him. He had a lot of success at Ripley. He had a lot of success before that at Shannon.
Yep.
leaves both places with winning records. I think he's like 101-56 is what I had in the story for a career. He was also at Yazoo County. A lot of people know him having played at Ole Miss and at Calhoun City. Mm-hmm. So a good move for Chad Cook. Maybe not a good move for Ripley at this time.
Yeah, but he leaves them in a good place. I mean, Ripley's always a strong program, and you know, he had a good run there, 38-23 record, led them to the playoffs all 5 years. I don't know exactly all what they've got coming back. That's something that you'll start getting into as you start working on the football section we do every year. But you know, you figure this is a program. If any program can handle this kind of late change, it's Ripley.
Right, and I don't know if we've mentioned this in one of these podcasts lately, but we've got two other new coaches in the area. Ken True. Adams at Hatley, Fulton native, who runs the Notre Dame box. So the old single wing is going to be interesting. And then you've got Ray Weeks, who coached at Hamilton, retired 2 years ago, and now is going to Tishomingo County.
That's right. Yeah, so, and that just happened last week, too.
It did.
So that's another one that kind of happened late.
So a lot of times, maybe I'll retire and come back full time. Who knows? At another newspaper.
Nancy may want you to. Nancy may get tired of you being around the house. So yeah, Chad Cook leaving Ripley, and we'll just keep an eye on things and see who they get. Like you said, maybe just best to promote. I don't know who they have on staff right now, but we'll keep an eye on that. Speaking of coaches, let's talk about Ben Jones. If you've been around here a while, if you've been around here much longer than me, for instance, then you probably know the name Ben Jones. Although he actually retired from coaching about the time you got here.
He did.
I don't know how much you dealt with him.
I didn't deal with him a lot. I mean, back in those days, I covered a different game every Friday night.
Sure.
But I did cover the game between Kossuth and New Albany. And it was between Jim Drury at Kossuth and Ben Jones at New Albany. And I was told going in that they were both retiring at the end of the season. And Jim Drury did not stick with his retirement. He stayed out a year, drove his wife crazy.
Yep.
And she says, go back to coaching. Ben Jones obviously did not drive his wife crazy and never got back in coaching.
Yeah.
So Ben stayed involved in coaching, and that's one of the reasons we're talking about him this week. He got inducted into the National Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And a lot of that wasn't necessarily on his great record of coaching in high school, and it was a fantastic record.
Yeah, he coached football. He had 152 wins against 48 losses and 8 ties in football and basketball, a record of 118-49. That's all between 1951 and 1986. And he coached at places like Hatley, Tupelo, Gulfport, Itawamba, Meridian, and New Albany, and ICC.
Yeah, but it was the fact that he was instrumental in forming a Mississippi Association of Coaches back in 1955, my birthday year. And that, talking with Bubba Davis, who was one of the a former West Point coach. That's where people know Bubba from around here. I talked with Bubba the other day, and he says that was the main reason that he was nominated and pushed for this Hall of Fame nomination and eventual induction, is just all the work and the dedicated work he had done all these years for coaches, not just football coaches, but all coaches. And one thing I wrote about in the story, Ben started out as a basketball coach at Gulfport High School. And a lot of people, if you know about basketball, Burt Jenkins for years won state championships at Gulfport, kind of built that program. Had Chris Jackson there and those kind of players. Well, in 1961, Ben Jones went there and won the Big 8 Conference Championship, which at the time, before the state playoffs, those were the largest schools in the state. And that was the biggest championship you could win.
Yeah.
And he won it. Yeah. In his 2 years there, he won one of his years as a head basketball coach at Gulfport.
And he's a Monroe County native, and he's he's still kicking around. He's 87. He was not able to attend the induction.
He's had some health problems since November.
Okay.
He took a fall here recently, his daughter told me, and she said that he's recovering from that. So this was the first time he had never been to some kind of first time, I think it's the first time he's missed a coaching convention in Jackson.
Wow.
Are going to miss one.
Right.
And, but a really nice honor for Ben. A lot of people know him. I talked with some former players about him.
Yeah.
and they just talked about him, that he was fair, fun, and compassionate.
Yeah, and
that's what made him a great coach.
And on top of and that's what helped him win so many games. He won a lot of games at Itawamba AHS. They won 7 Tom Bigby Conference championships at New Albany. They won the Little Ten Championship back in 1979. He had a good record there. He had a good record in the short time he spent at ICC, led them to a state title back in 75. So, I mean, just wherever he went, he succeeded, and so that's obviously a reason as well for inducting him into this Hall of Fame. So good honor there for Ben Jones. Let's change gears and talk some hoops, Gene. You know, we're months away from the start of the basketball season, but right now we're in the summer hoops season. Lots of teams trying to tweak some things, work on some things, find some new players they can work into the rotations and whatnot. I want to hit on three teams real quick, or two teams, okay, and a player. Start with Belmont. I had a story on them the other day. Belmont's good every year. Chris Higginbottom always has that team ready. And I've heard you say this, Gene, just talking out there in the office. This could be not only the best team in 3A this coming year, could they maybe even be the best team in the state regardless of classification? And
I don't know if I'd go that far, but they will be the best team. They could be the best team. Could be the best team in North Mississippi regardless of classification.
Okay, there you go.
And that's going by their summer play. They've beaten Ingomar,
yeah,
the two-time defending state champion. They've beaten Tupelo.
Yeah.
And I think Tupelo is probably one of the top 6A schools, girls basketball teams in the state coming back, even without Elijah Shearer,
yeah,
our player of the year.
Yeah.
They've got some really good players, but this Belmont team with Claire Maroon coming back, the post player who can play inside, she can go out in the perimeter and shoot the three-pointer. I saw that the other day when I went to Vina, Alabama to watch her. And she's as healthy as she's ever been after a knee surgery. And Sarah Behrman's probably one of the best point guards I've seen ever in girls basketball.
Wow.
She'll be a senior this year. She's got some help. She's got three freshmen coming up. They're all really good players. I mentioned their names, Hannah Campbell, Macy Walker, and Abby Kirkendall. And, yes, she's kin to Malcolm Kirkendall,
oh, yes,
the legendary Belmont coach who won 5-6 state championships there. She is his granddaughter. And
wow,
she's a really good player. And
wow,
she looked good the other day. And so this team – and they've got some role players,
sure,
coming off the bench who are really good. And this Belmont team, if they stay healthy, I sound like a football coach.
Yeah, I know.
But that's key. You know, their biggest competition will be Boonville. And Boonville will be down a little bit. But Boonville will still be Boonville. They've got some good players coming back, too. So,
sure.
They do lose Neusite in that division. Neusite drops
down to 2A.
Belmont, Chris Higginbottom could have a state championship caliber team, that's for sure.
And, you know, you just look at the teams he's had over the years. Chris just reloads every year, man. And I think that just speaks to his player development skills.
It does, and he keeps those girls there, and they play for him during the summer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not a big fan of AAU ball.
Right.
And he keeps those players there. He's lost some kids along the way because,
sure,
of that. But, boy, I think he's won 3 state championships. I think I'd listen to Coach Higginbottom.
Yeah, I think I would too. Speaking of 3A hoops, a program that maybe we'll see become even more competitive over the next few years, South Pontotoc, because they got Bill Russell on the bench now. Of course, most people have heard that he recently left Pontotoc, where he'd been for 20 years and won a state title, and took over at his alma mater, South Pontotoc. And he was actually back at Pontotoc last week playing in a little summer tournament there against East Webster.
And won.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. And it seems like everybody, all the players are just all in on him.
And the community's in.
They had
a nice crowd there. There were about 50 fans there for the
summer. For summer hoops. And yeah, it's good.
But it was kind of exciting, and they're excited about maybe the revival of girls basketball at South Pontotoc. It was strong when I first moved here in 86,
sure,
and it hadn't been really since. I mean, they've had some good years. I'm not going to say they weren't strong. They weren't a doormat. But Russell says he wants to change the mentality there.
Yeah.
He wants people to walk on the floor thinking they can win every night. And he's certainly the guy that can make you.
I don't think he's going to have enough athletes at that school to be able to do that. They've got some good – I think I may have mentioned this before. They've got some good athletic programs on the girls' side there, from softball to soccer. They've got the potential in basketball, I think, to do well. And also, one other thing, this goes back, I guess, a couple of weeks, but you hadn't talked about it yet. We mentioned Ingomar. Of course, they've won 2 straight titles in 2A. Mallory Russell was not a part of this last title, at least not the last half of the season, because she got hurt coming ACL, second ACL tear that she's suffered in her career.
Yeah. So one for each knee.
But it looks like, at least last time you checked on her a couple of weeks ago with that story, she's on pace to be able to be ready for this season, isn't she?
She's been released by the doctor to, run and jump.
Yeah.
However, no planning or pivoting, she told me.
Right.
While I was there watching that summer league tournament at Ingemar a couple of weeks ago, Mallory was walking around wearing like flip flops, and somebody called her up in the stands, and she just jumped on top of a standing chair that they were using for a bench. And I looked at my wife, and my wife says, "I think she's okay."
I don't know. If I'm Trent Adair, I might be a little. May get on her a little bit about that.
But anyway, you know, when you're young.
Yeah, I know.
And she rehabbed really well this time. I think it was easier, this rehab, than the last one. And, of course, the surgeries, even though her first surgery on her other knee was like 3 years ago, these things improve so much.
Oh, yeah.
The recovery time so much quicker.
Yeah.
For an ACL. So,
You
know, they were a different team after Mallory left. They went more guard-oriented, and it worked out for them. They
sure
won a
did.
State championship. A lot of people are thinking, wow, if they were that good once they realized that they didn't have Mallory, how good could they be when she comes back?
Yeah, and, you know, the style of play, I'm curious to see how Trent Adair handles that because, you know, I'm sure he'll like to run and use those guards because it worked. But you have somebody like the quality of Mallory Russell on the inside, obviously you're going to take advantage of that. So I kind of wonder if they'll be able to maybe attack teams two different ways, going inside to her then when she's on the bench, you know, speed things up a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, you just don't want to give up 12 points, 10 rebounds a game.
No.
And, you know, and that's what Mallory's going to bring for you.
Certainly.
Maybe even more points.
Yeah.
And, again, everybody's getting big players. So, I mean, you've got to have that big player inside.
Yeah,
on any level. So having a 5'11 or 6-footer is really good.
Yeah. So you can check out all these stories from the past couple of weeks from Gene at djournal.com. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Not a bad show. Again, there's stuff to talk about.
And, there's plenty, and we're fixing to have a lot to talk about this next month.
Yeah, we're getting ready for football season.
Yeah. Now, basketball is fixing to take a break, and so is baseball. July, for those sports, is rest and relaxation.
Yes.
Get ready to come back in August.
Right. And next thing you know, I mean, let's not forget slow pitch. Softball starts in August as well.
That's right.
That's coming up soon.
And, they've played a lot of summer ball, too. Most of that is done more on a travel team basis.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for joining us on this episode of Prep Rally. Again, you can find us on iTunes for podcast apps or stream it at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Gene's on there at Gene Phelps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. We'll be back next week, I reckon. We'll find something to talk about.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe Ripley will have a new coach by then.
There you go.
Talk about that. Thanks for joining us once again, and we'll see you next time.